Good morning. It's great to be back here bringing the word to you. Leslie and I want to thank you for your wishes and prayers and everything. We have been together for 22 years. Right. You know, I have this, I have this problem with some of the English words, especially the V's and W's, and I can't differentiate between them when I pronounce, and my English pronunciation as such is bad. And my wife and son, they are the ones who correct me, say the right thing. So yesterday, when I was preparing my sermon, I asked my, asked Leslie how to pronounce vow. I pronounced it as wo, right? I mean, for me, it is the same. V-O-W, it could be wo, it could be wow. So Leslie told me that, wo is something that comes after you take the vows. So that stuck with me. So now I will never forget, never confuse between a wo and a vow. Right? Of course, the funny thing is that, me and Leslie never took our vows. We got married in a Hindu temple. Some of you know that, right? But that doesn't mean we don't have vows, by the way. we still have them, but... All right. So this month, the series is on prayer, right? The art of prayer is what the series is on. And so we're studying the art of praying, right? And we are learning how to pray. Last week, Pastor took us through the Lord's Prayer, what Jesus taught his disciples to do. Now, in the prayer, continuum or the hierarchy, prayer hierarchy, probably the Lord's Prayer will be, right there on top. That is the model prayer, and Jesus himself told us to do that. So it is for us mere human beings. The Lord's Prayer is actually aspirational, right? Not always we can fit into those patterns of what Jesus has asked us to pray, saying, many of us actually make mistakes when we pray and we don't really confine or conform to that pattern that Jesus asked us to do. So, but then, the good thing is, of course, Lord doesn't give us only good examples. He also gives us human examples, right? So today, we are going to see a prayer from Jonah, which is more, I would say, more of our level, right? We can really, associate ourselves. We can say, okay, hey, look, this is something that I can do, right? So today's prayer is about Jonah's prayer, and this is what we are going to focus on today. So let's open our Bibles and keep it in Jonah chapter 2. That's where we would, have the verses coming from. Now, but before we talk about Jonah's prayer, let us talk about Jonah for a little while, right? Jonah's story, I'm sure all of us know it, right? It is taught in Sunday schools. It is preached very often when we have to talk about obedience, more about disobedience, right? And man's own self-will and all that stuff. And it's a good story, right? It's a good story. And the story, in short, is very simple like this. God asks Jonah to go and preach in Nineveh. Jonah thinks it's a bad idea, and Jonah actually decides to go exactly the opposite direction of Nineveh to Tarshish. And he catches a ship and he goes and hides in the remotest corner of the ship, hoping that no one will see him, no one will notice him, and he will reach Tarshish and he'll be safe and away from the Lord and everyone else. Right? So that was his plans, but then God knew better, right? So God then sends a storm and the ship is about to sink and people start asking, hey, whose fault is this? What did we do? And then the Lord falls on Jonah and people finally decide that, okay, he needs to be gotten rid of. So they throw him out of the ship. And of course, the Lord sends a fish to swallow him. And he lives in the fish's belly for 3 days and three nights. And, we know the story up to this. This has been told multiple times and, analyzed multiple times and things like that, right? So we know this story. And this is where we come to his prayer. And so let's read his prayer. It's good for us to, you know, to read it. So please open your Bibles and follow with me as I read it. I'm reading from the New King James version in KJV. You could follow whatever version you have. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. I mean, it's a short chapter. It's only 10 verses, so we could just read it together. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into a deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surround me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. And my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So that's the whole prayer, one short chapter of 10 verses, right? So I looked at this and I said, okay, look, what are the things that jumps at us, right? So I picked up a few things, and that's what we will go through quickly. The first thing that struck me is, when does Jonah decide to pray? Right? When does Jonah decide to pray? So, you know, by his own admission, I'm not making this up. His own admission, he says in verse 2, he says he cried out to the Lord because of his affliction, right? And verse 7 says, when his soul fainted within him, he cried out to the Lord, and he remembered the Lord. He remembered the Lord when his soul fainted on him. So it's by his own, you know, and then verse 3 and 4 explains the difficulties that he was in, right? And he was going through when he decided to pray. So in short, Jonah decided to pray when he was in big trouble, right? He was in big trouble, and of course, the fact is that he was in big trouble because of his own actions, right? It is he who brought on these troubles on himself, and yet, you know, and yet he decides to pray when he realizes that, oh goodness, I am in trouble, you know, and that is the time when he decides to pray. So, don't we find ourselves in this situation? Aren't there times when we say, Lord, look, you have asked me to do something, but that's not what I want to do. I want to do something else. Lord, you have asked me to go somewhere, but that's not where I want to go. I want to go somewhere else. And then we do our own thing. And because we do our own thing, we end up in trouble. Some of these troubles are small troubles, but sometimes we end up in big trouble, right? And then we decide to pray, and then actually we feel guilty that we pray when we are in trouble. Sometimes, some of us, have you felt this? Have you felt, you know, you are in trouble, you pray to God, and then you say, okay, God, I'm sorry that I come to you only when I'm in trouble, right? Have you felt guilty about this? But you know what? The Lord expects us to pray when we are afflicted. The Lord expects that we will go to Him when we have troubles. You know, actually, Job, in the book of Job, Job 36:13, tells us this, that he says, but the hypocrites in the heart store up wrath. They do not cry for help when he binds them. So according to Job, it is only the hypocrites who do not pray when they are in trouble. So if we are in trouble and if we pray, don't feel guilty about it. We can pray when we are in trouble, even when the troubles are brought on by ourselves. Right? So God expects us that, look, you did something, you brought trouble to yourself, but you have come to me. I love that. And that is God's approach when we pray, when we are in trouble. So that's the first lesson that I you know, it struck me that we pray when we are afflicted, even when we are troubled, even when the troubles are brought on by ourselves. That's the first thing. The second is actually, you know, the type of faith that Jonah exhibits, even during this trouble, even during this thing, and sense of encouragement, the sense of comfort that he feels when he prays, and then he expresses it during his prayer itself, right? So I mean, let's remember where he is, right? He is not in the most conducive place for meditation and prayer. Right? Where is he? He is in the belly of a fish, and those of I'm sure most of us eat fish, and even if we haven't cleaned fish ourselves, we might have seen others clean fish, right? So the belly is not the most cleanest place on earth, right? It's not well lit, it's not well ventilated, and he himself says, "Weeds are around my head," right? So that's what Jonah says. So it's not the most conducive place for sitting down and meditating. It's not what we would call as the quiet corner. Right? It is not what one would call, say, okay, look, this is the right place. Okay, look, I can sit here and meditate. No. But he is actually, he is down in the depths. He is surrounded by floods. His life is under threat. He is in a situation that David described in Psalm 69:1. He says, "Save me, O God, save me, for the waters have come up to my neck." That's what David says in Psalm 69:1. And Jonah is actually repeating the words of David. In Psalm 42:7, David says, "Deep calls into deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me." Now, so this is the situation that Jonah is in, right? But yet, in this situation, he says that he knows that if I call out to my Lord, he will hear me. He will rescue me. Right? That's what the prayer actually says. So he says that, look, I believe in a God who delivers. I believe in a God who answers. And I believe in a God who rescues if only I call out to him, if only I submit to him. So that's really what he knows that the God his God is a prayer answering God, and he knew that if he went up to the temple of God, he would be saved. He knew that the Lord will hear his prayer and let him live. Let him live for what? Let him live so that he can glorify God. He can praise the Lord. He can thank the Lord. So that's the sort of confidence that Jonah has on the Lord, and the comfort that he feels even in this most desperate situation. Right? I mean, I'm sure many of us can't remember us being in a similar place like where Jonah was. But then he knows that that the Lord will save him. How about us? What do we do? How do we feel when we are hedged in, when we are troubled, when we are in the worst situations? How do we? There are times when I have, felt like in Lamentations, I have cried out to the Lord saying, "He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy." This is what the Lamentations says. And have we felt like that? Have we felt so much hedged in, so much that we felt that we can't reach out to him, right? Or the question is, can we use that to grow stronger in faith and know that the Lord will deliver us, just like Jonah did, and the Lord will let us live to glorify him and to praise him. Now the psalmist tells us in Psalm 27:13, he says, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I would have lost hope. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So there is so much goodness in the Lord that that we don't need to lose heart. We don't need to lose hope. Right. And Jesus tells us, Jesus actually told us in Luke 22:32, Jesus says this, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." He says, don't let your faith fail, strengthen your faith. And when you return to me, strengthen your brethren. Isn't that what church is about? Isn't that what a church is supposed to do? Help ourselves grow in faith and then return to the Lord and strengthen others, right? So that's really what we are doing. Grow our faith. So So how often can we emulate Jonah and say to the Lord, Lord, I know I am in the deep dumps, and yet I know that you will save me, you will deliver me, you will answer me, you will bring deliverance to me. So that's the second lesson that I want us to remember this morning from Jonah's prayer, that we need to pray in faith, and when we pray in faith, we can pray immaterial of how bad our situations may seem to be, and we are encouraged to pray in faith that our Lord listens to our prayer. The second thing. The third thing I already touched upon, you know, where did Jonah pray? Which place did Jonah choose to pray from, right? And, you know, many of us have this difficulty. Where do we pray? You know, is it right for us to pray while we are in office? Is it right for us to pray when we are in toilet or in kitchen? Or do we need a proper place for us to pray? You know, I mean, many of our other faiths have a dedicated place, what the puja room or whatever it is, where only, you know, that is the place for us to pray. So the question here is there a specific for us place for us to pray, right? And we see Jonah praying from the belly of the fish, which is probably the most unlikely place that anyone will think of, you know, sitting down and praying. So it's not a place where I'm the lesson for me is this, that I don't have to wait for a quiet moment for me to say a prayer. I pray wherever I am because I carry the church with me. I carry the church with me. I am the church. It's not this four buildings and it's four walls, or it is not the pulpit, or it is not the, you know, the furniture around it and things like that. I carry the church with me, and hence I can pray wherever I am. It doesn't matter where I am. As long as my attitude is right, attitude of prayer is right, I can pray. I can pray. We carry the church with us, so we can pray anywhere. So that's the third lesson that I want to leave with us this morning. The fourth is actually a very short message from Jonah, but it is a warning for all of us. And the warning is for people. Verse 8 in Jonah's prayer says this, go back to verse 8, you would see verse 8 reads like this: those who regard worthless idols forsake their mercy. Right? So that's what he says. And that's really a warning for us, that you know, and Jonah is speaking from his own experience, right? He ran away. He pursued his idols, quote unquote, his idols, right? It was not a physical idol, but still, he was pursuing what he felt is right in doing. And he was pursuing that idol. So, and he let that, you know, so this warning is for all of us. It's not, I mean, all of us are smart enough to understand that idol does not necessarily mean a physical idol, right? Anything that takes the place of God, anything that we start worshipping, anything that we give more importance to, it could be, you know, the job, it could be your status, it could be money, it could be pleasures, it could be fame, anything that takes the place of God is an idol. And Jonah warns us that, you know, that if we follow those idols, we will forsake the mercy of the Lord. You know, so let's examine ourselves in the wake of Jonah's prayer and warnings. Do we give God the ultimate priority that is due on, and what are the idols that we have succumbed to, right? And given more importance to God, more important than God in our lives. So I come to the last point. The last point is, that Jonah gives all glory and honor to the Lord. That is how he ends his prayer, right? Verse 9. Let us read verse 9 again. Verse 9 says, "But I will sacrifice to you with voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Right? So that's really the last thing that hits us in this prayer. The glory and honor belongs to Lord and the Lord alone. We see Jonah ending this prayer with this solemn covenant. It's actually a covenant that he's making in verse 9, right? He says, he covenants that he will bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And it's not a physical sacrifice that Jonah offers. It is a sacrifice which comes from the heart, and it's a sacrifice offered through the lips, right? It's a sacrifice of the heart offered through the lips. And sacrifice through the lips is something that has been, you know, confirmed by many others. Hosea, In his 14:2, he says, he puts it like this. He says, take words with you and return to the Lord. He's not saying take a heifer or take a bull or take a cow or, you know, take a goat or whatever. He says, take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all my iniquity, receive us graciously, and we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. So that is what the Lord is asking us. And so the sacrifice of the lips is what God is really asking us to offer. Hebrews 13:15 says this. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Right? It is to the sacrifices are our sacrifices are basically thanksgiving. Sacrifices are praise to the Lord, which we offer from our heart through our lips. And that is what Jonah is doing here. He says, you know, and Psalm 116:17-19 again says this: I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving is really the sacrifice that the Lord is looking at us from this. Now it's important, you know. So let's look at Psalm 116:17-19 again. He says, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, right? I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Now, come back to Jonah. This is exactly what Jonah refused to do. The Lord asked him, Go to Nineveh, preach, tell them my message, right? And that's actually what, and so pay your vow by going to Nineveh and preaching about me, right? And Jonah actually went against it. Jonah went against it, and he was reluctant to do just that. But then, at the end, Jonah realizes that there is no getting away, and Jonah says, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Right. That's where Jonah turns around and realizes his folly and agrees to the to God's word in this place. Now Jonah also ends with a confirmation that salvation belongs to the Lord. Right. This is something that we know, and Jonah is actually confirming this even in this situation. He says, you know, that salvation belongs to the, and then this is again, there are multiple confirmations of where that the Lord is the Lord of salvation, and the salvation belongs to the Lord in the Bible. Psalm 3:8 tells us this: salvation belongs to the Lord, your blessing is upon your people. Psalm 68:19-20 says this: blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. So Jonah is confirming that, look, the Lord, you are the Lord of salvation, and salvation belongs to you. Only through you can I be saved. I know that, and hence I vow again to proclaim your name across the nations. I commit myself to pay my vows to you. So that's the last lesson that I want us to remember from Jonah's prayer this morning. Right? To coming to the Lord and telling the Lord that, look, Lord, I will pay my sacrifices through my lips. I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise. And I will proclaim it, not just here, but among the people, among other people. I will talk to others about you. I will talk to others about your love. I will talk to them and tell them that you are the Lord of salvation, and salvation belongs to you and to you alone. And only through you can we be saved. That is the message. Our God is the God of salvation, and we can be saved only by him through Jesus Christ. So this is what Jonah is asking us to do. So let's summarize. Jonah's prayer gives us actually five lessons. five lessons that I have. Of course, there could be more, but this is what the Lord has put on my heart this morning. We pray when we are afflicted, and there is nothing wrong with it. Pray when we are afflicted. Even if the affliction is caused because of our own actions, even if this affliction is caused because of our disobedience, even if it is purely because of our stubbornness that we have been in this place, pray when we are afflicted. When we pray with faith and hope and encouragement. That is number two. We pray with hope and encouragement, and we pray in faith, knowing that the Lord will hear us and the Lord will deliver us, and He will let us live so that we can praise Him. Number three is we pray wherever we are. There is no specific place on earth for prayer. Prayer reaches the heavens, immaterial of where on earth you pray from. It will reach the heavens. The route to heaven is not blocked because of a very specific place, and there is no preferred or highways or bypasses to the Lord. The prayers, immaterial of where it is offered, it will reach the heavens. Right? And we pray only to our God and not to idols. Right. Let us be careful not to put idols and because they will only bring us misery, and they will prevent us from receiving God's mercy. And lastly, we pray knowing that salvation belongs to our God, and only our God can save us through Jesus Christ. May I request Pastor to come and pray and close in benediction, please.
Life of